The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Romans 2, verse 4 is a scripture that we certainly need to understand. It says this, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" God isn't in any hurry to dish out punishment or judgment, but it will come. God lets us know that it will come, but God gives us every chance that there is to turn and repent so that we won't have to reap severely what we continue to sow. Will you heed God's warning of what will happen in the end time, which is very close now? The warning that our way will bring the world to the brink of all life erased from the earth. But Christ will intervene to save man from himself. Yes, that is the result of the seed that we have and are sowing. That is the harvest we would reap if God doesn't intervene. We should be thankful that He will. We could allow the goodness of God to lead us to repentance if we will, as a world or a nation. But we aren't willing at this point. Our reaping isn't severe enough, but it will be. Notice what God has to say about our people, the United States and the British people, as well as other Israelitish nations, over in Ezekiel 6, verse 9. "Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evil which they have committed and all their abominations." God is telling us here that there's coming a time that we are going to repent. We will repent and change and abhor ourselves and loathe ourselves and despise ourselves for ignoring God and His laws all the days of our life, or we will be burned up in a lake of fire. God is going to give us a choice when you are resurrected in that second resurrection. And if you are one of the lucky ones that lives over into the millennium, when Christ sets up and establishes His kingdom here on earth, God is going to give you a choice and give you ample opportunity to know His way. And you will either get in line with God's way, or you won't be around too long. You won't be around to entice others to follow you in a wrong way. God says that America and the British people will be in a state of captivity when He returns. Continuing here in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 24, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Now this has never happened, my friends. This is an end-time prophecy, and I want you to know and understand, as we have brought out many a time on this program, that Ezekiel was penned at least 130 years after Israel had already gone into captivity between 732 and 718 B.C. This is an end-time prophecy for Israel, the United States, and the British people. Verse 26, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." Yes, God says He's going to give us a heart of understanding and put a new mind and a new attitude in us. And we're going to come out loathing ourselves just before Christ returns and at His return because of all of our many sins. And God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." We have a heart of stone now. God always called Israel a stubborn and rebellious and a stiff-necked people. And we're still that way today. We have a heart of stone and we won't listen. We won't take heed. We won't take warning of what God has to say. Verse 27, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." It would be good if we would do that today. Keep God's judgments and do them. But we won't. Our reaping hasn't been severe enough to bring us to that point. "Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Yes, there's coming a time when we're going to obey God, and God is going to be our God. We aren't going to have false and idolatrous gods as we have today. "I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you." Did you notice that, my friend? Did you catch that? God says, I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. In other words, from all your sin, because we're going to repent and God is going to be ready and willing to graciously forgive. Well, that hasn't happened yet. This is an end time prophecy. You need to perk up your ears and listen to this and take warning. Verse 30, and I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. Yes, we can see that now, can't we? If we have an open eye at all, an open heart, an open mind to understand God's word at all, we can understand now that our ways aren't good, and that our ways are leading us down the path of destruction. And you will loathe yourselves. Yes, we'll come to the point that we will despise ourselves. In your own sight, you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. Now, you may think that you're getting away with whatever you're doing, any type of life that you choose to live nowadays, and that you won't have to pay. You may think that you won't reap what you sow. But my friends, there's coming a time when you are going to reap. That is a law that God has put in motion, and you can't break that law. Verse 32, not for your sake do I do this, says the Eternal God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Yes, God makes it very plain that we're going to come to the point that we are ashamed and that we are confounded because of all of our evil ways. Thus says the Eternal God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, an end time prophecy, my friends, this hasn't happened. It's going to happen. I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Yes, notice this verse 35 again. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. We have never lived in a land like that. I want you to understand, this is an end time prophecy. This is just shortly after Christ returns and delivers Israel out of captivity, shortly after the time that Satan is bound. Verse 36, then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. This is sure, my friends. This is coming. God says, I have spoken it, and I will do it. The only way that God won't bring upon this nation the coming captivity, the great tribulation that's talked about in two or three places in the Bible, is that if we turn and repent. And we aren't going to do that. According to God and His Word, we won't do that. You could as an individual if you will. And God will protect you and spare you through this terrible time that truly is just around the corner. You can ignore this warning if you want to, but you will pay. You will reap what you sow. God is telling us, the house of Israel, not only Judah, that is the little nation we call Israel today, but the 10 tribes of Israel, and especially the house of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, the British and the American people, the condition that we will be in at the return of Christ, and what He will do for us, and the fact that we will be in a repentant attitude, and finally loathe or despise the way that we have lived and sinned against God, and we will be ashamed of our ways. And as I've brought out many times before, that God says we aren't ashamed today. We have the forehead of a harlot. We aren't ashamed for our many sins. God says that our sins continue to multiply, and that's the reason that He's going to bring these things upon us. God is going to see to it that we reap what we sow. That is a law. And God is going to see to it that we come to repentance. And the earlier in your life that you come to repentance, my friends, the better your life will be, as well as those that are around you. We will finally learn that we do reap what we sow, and that our way that naturally seem right to us lead us to death. We will finally learn that we are rewarded according to our works. We will finally learn what true and godly repentance is. Now, how about those that seem to get away with whatever they do? David wondered about that as well, and he let us know that he finally came to the point that he understood what would happen to them as well. In Psalm 73, beginning in verse 1, Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. Yes, those that are of a pure heart, those that want to obey God. But as for me, David continues here, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. In other words, David came to the point that he was disgusted and thought that maybe it does pay to live your own way instead of living God's way. Notice in verse 3, he says, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Yes, David said, they aren't in trouble as other men. They seem to go on and do what they want to, cheat, lie, steal, whatever they want to, and get away with it and prosper in their ways. Said they scoff at heaven. In other words, they scoff at God. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, people just don't care about God. In other words, they think it's just time and chance, and you do your own thing and get away with it. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Yes, it seems that the ungodly makes it better sometimes than those that are trying to live by the law and by the word of God. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. David was that low. He was at a very low point in his life when he wrote this chapter here. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Well, you know, God says that judgment is on the house of God. That is, those that are trying to obey God, those that have his spirit. God does chasten us. He says in different places in his word that he does chasten us and corrects every son that he loves. And David knew this and he understood it. Verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the house of God. Then I understood their end. Yes, David finally came to the point that he understood what would happen to the wicked, those that just continually, rebelliously, stubbornly ignore God and his way. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. In other words, David is telling us that they are going to come to their end, and actually telling us that they're going to be burned up if they don't change their ways. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my spirit. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. So David came to realize that he did understand and that God was with him and that God held him by his right hand, leading and guiding him in the path of righteousness. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. My friend, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. But in the meantime, if you would like tapes or CDs of our programs or the booklets and articles, all you need to do is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayintended@hotmail.com, or call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 238-3675. Today we're offering the articles, Who Do You Worship and Why Does Mankind Suffer? Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.